My bad. Well, now I have to think of something to say. That puts the pressure on me. Well, we'll get there somehow. So, no, that's you know, we've been talking in the offertories about the different attributes of a Spirit-led servant, and some of the things that we've talked about so far are the Spirit-led servant coming from Romans chapter 1. First of all, is a thankful servant, has a thankful heart, thankful spirit, is a spirit-driven servant, not self-driven, not self-motivated, but actually driven by the Spirit of God. Next is it has a concern or a genuine care for the people that we serve. Thirdly is obedient to God's will, is a willing servant, is anxious to serve. Once a spirit-led servant is has an understanding of what God's asking them to do, they'll step forward and do it immediately. Last week we talked about having a loving, giving spirit, a desire to give to others and not take. And so this week I was going to address actually verse 12 of chapter 1, and it's tied on to the end of chapter 1, verse 11. Verse 11 says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established." That is, verse 12, "that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine." If we reflect on who Paul is, I mean, Paul was trained by Christ. Paul is, I mean, he's the go-to as far as the understanding of what doctrine is, what God's word is. Paul told us in Timothy, 1 Timothy, that he was the worst sinner of all. And the fact that God saw him, deemed him to be faithful, is why he put him into service. Paul was a high-ranking individual. But what we see here is a humility that he's not saying, I'm going to come and I'm going to lay all of this knowledge, all this wonderful stuff that I have to offer to you. He's not saying, I'm so high and mighty. What he's saying is that we are a part of one body, and I will benefit from my time with you, just like you're going to benefit from your time with me. Why is that? Because we're each given gifts according to God's will. And so he's demonstrating a humility. So that next step in a spirit-led servant will demonstrate humility, recognizing that we've all been given giftednesses from God. And so if you go with me to Romans chapter 12, in verse number 1, it says, "Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." This is important because why are we willing to sacrifice, to consider ourselves a sacrifice? Why are we desiring to serve the Lord? Because we recognize what he's done for us. You know, if we ever lose sight of the mercy that God has shown us, what the price that Christ paid on the cross to allow us the opportunity to come to him and receive salvation, if we ever lose sight of that, we're not going to be merciful to others. We're not going to be desiring to serve others. We're going to be selfish, and we're going to desire what we deem to be best for ourselves, and we're not going to be looking to serve others. In verse 3, it says, "For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith." The point being here is that the danger of thinking that we're something that we're not. You know, 1 Corinthians covers this very well in the message to the Corinthians. You ain't all that. You think you're special. You think that you have everything that you need. Well, trust me, you don't. And so it's the warning against those who may have a more visible gift than others. And we'll use that to an advantage to think there's somebody. Yet again, if we look at Paul, everybody looked to Paul, but he's saying, I'm coming, you're going to benefit me through your faith because we're a part of the same body. 1 Corinthians 4 is a passage that I've held on to since the early days of coming to this body. And 1 Corinthians 4 verse 7 says, who regards you as superior? What do you have you have not received? And if you have received it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? In other words, sometimes we've received a giftedness. Sometimes we've received things from the Lord, and we act as if it's us putting forth this power, this ability, if you will, and we take credit for it. It can also show up if you're operating in your giftedness, you're not really aware that everybody else doesn't have it. You know what I mean? So some people are servants at heart. They've been given a servant's heart. And they see something and they just jump right in the middle and they start to serve. Well, other people who don't have that servant's heart may be a little slower because they're trepidatious for whatever reason about doing it. The one with the servant's heart may look at it like, well, why aren't they serving also? Why am I having a hard time finding people to serve? Well, you're exercising your giftedness. And yes, we are all called to serve. We're all part of the same body. But you're exercising your giftedness. If you have the gift of knowledge and you are looking at Scripture and it's Scripture speaking to you and all of these things just flood your reading and you start talking with somebody and they're sitting there looking at you with a blank stare and you're going, well, don't you see it? And they're going, well, no, not really. Well, that's why those with knowledge teach. Is because it doesn't mean the person's not a believer. It just means that you're gifted differently than somebody else is. So recognize that as we're communicating with others. Verse 4, for just as we have many members in one body and all members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of each other. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy according to proportion of his faith, and it goes on. Point being is that when you receive the Lord as your Lord and Savior, he gives you a gift. Why? Because we're all a part of a body. Well, as we're going to see in 1 Corinthians 12, where we're not all the same. It says the body in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body, it's not for that reason any less part of the body. If its ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not part of the body, is it not for this reason any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need for you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need for you. Point being is that God has given us all gifts. And the way that we serve him and the way we show honor to him and reverence to him is to serve within the giftedness that he has given us. And remember that nobody is any better than anybody else because we're all apart. You know, one of the hardest things you could ever do is if you ever lost your big toe or your thumb. You know, think about it. They're small apparatuses, but why did they used to chop off the king's toes and thumbs? Because it made them totally useless in combat. So they're the small things. But what can happen is the guy who stands up and does all these magnificent things can begin to think himself more than he is. You know, the worst thing that ever happened to a quarterback is for the offensive line to just think you're somebody? And just step aside. You know, but who gets the big contracts and all of the airtime after the football game? It's the quarterback. But everybody's a part of the same unit, and that's the way we are. We're all a part of the body of Christ. None of us is any more important than any other body. And so the humility to recognize that where our position is, not only within the body, but where we are with God. Because about the time we start thinking I'm superior to any one individual, all we have to do is look at the standard of Jesus Christ. And we go, Lord, what mercy, what grace you have shown me to offer me a place in your kingdom, offer me a way to serve you, and offer me ultimate salvation. Father, we come before you, Lord, and we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the way that you received us into your body. Lord, we thank you that you give us opportunities to serve you, and Lord, may we serve you humbly, recognizing you don't need us to accomplish anything, but you do give us the opportunity to participate. You give us the opportunity to participate with others and to be joined together and to be formed as a family, and we thank you for that. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.